Are you listening for the instruction? I'm going to ask that you close your eyes and that you think about what God has done for you. Think about the many times that He has provided for you. Think about the many times that He has just been there for you. Many persons were there sinking deep in sin, but Jesus Christ, He came. And He rescued us so that we can have a better life. And I just want you to just forget about everything else around you. And I want you to just tell God thanks for the many things that He has done for you. Your eyes are closed, so don't be afraid about who is going to see you praising the Lord. It is all about you and God. The Bible said, when the praises go up, then the blessing will come down. So don't be afraid to praise God tonight. I want my blessing, and I'm not going to be afraid to praise the Lord tonight. Keep your eyes closed.
Hallelujah. Let's worship the Lord.
I lay the flat feet.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. He's worthy to be praised.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed where you are. Gracious, loving Father, once again, we are grateful for your mercy and for your love. You have kept us from morning until this hour. And so we have come to praise and to magnify your name. Once again, as we come to this place of worship, I ask that you will take full control of the message. Take full control of the messenger. And take full control over those who will listen to this message. Take glory and give it to Jesus. And when we leave this place, may we be able to say, we have heard the voice of God. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated in the presence of the Lord. Good evening, everybody. Come on, you can do better than that. Good evening, everyone. Are you happy to be in the place of worship this evening? Has God been good to you? If God has been good to you, say amen. Lift your hand and say praise the Lord. Now turn to the person next to you. Give that person a smile and tell that person, I love you and Jesus loves you too. Come on, you're going to do it again. Come on, look that person beside you in the eye. Give that person a broad smile and tell that person, I love you and Jesus loves you too. Amen. We are in love. What do you say? Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called sons and daughters of God. Would you say amen? It's so good to see you out in your numbers this evening. I want to extend a special welcome to all my visiting friends, especially from the Pembroke Hall community. We are happy to have you. Also, the members who have journeyed from the four pastoral districts who are involved in this campaign. I want you to give yourself a big amen. Amen. It's good to see you. And I want to extend and acknowledge especially two of our administrators, our president, Pastor Adrian Cottrell. He is here with us tonight. Amen. And Pastor Devon Osborne, our executive secretary. And once again, we have Pastor Glenville Carr, our ministerial secretary, with us. We're happy to have you under the Drama of the Ages Countdown Gospel Tent. And we hope and trust that tonight you will have a wonderful night as we share in this worship session. Now, as you come each night, I want to set us to work. Tomorrow night, if you bring 10 brand new visitors under this tent, I have a surprise for you. How many visitors did I say? Is that easy or is it easy? It's too easy. 10. Now, I'm not going to tell you if you bring 5, you won't get a prize. So, but I'm saying 10. Make sure you bring 10 brand new persons under this tent. And the evangelist has something special for you. What do you say? Amen. Make sure that on tomorrow you go out and invite your friends and tell them that great things are happening under this tent right here. Well, let's go to work. Last night we began in a blaze of glory, and we anticipate the Spirit of God will work mightily tonight. On Sabbath, we will be here. All road leads to this tent. Can somebody say amen? And don't worry about the seating capacity. We will be making provisions for that. All you need to do is to come. You need to come in your numbers. In the PM, we will be looking at the subject PG-13. Then on Sabbath morning, we'll be talking about drama in the plain of Jura. Then Wednesday evening, what's next on God's agenda? And on tomorrow evening, where did it all start? If you have your Bibles with you, 2 Corinthians chapter 10. I'm reading verses 1 through 6. And tonight, you can follow on the screen. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, I'm reading from verse 1. The Bible says, "Now I, Paul, myself, beseech you by the meekness and the gentleness of Christ, who in presence am base among you, but being absent am bold toward you. But I beseech you that I may not be bold when I am present with that confidence, wherewith I think to be bold against some, which think of us as if we walk according to the what? According to the flesh. For though we walk in the what? We do not war after the what? For the weapons of our warfare are not what? Carnal, but what? Mighty through who? Pulling down of what? Strongholds." Verse 5. "Casting down imaginations and every high thing that what? Exalteth itself against the knowledge itself, against the knowledge of what? Of God, and bringeth it to what? Captivity, every thought to the obedience of who? Christ." Verse 6. "And having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience, when your obedience is fulfilled." Now jump with me to Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12. What does the Bible say? Read with me. "For the word of God is what? Quick and what? Powerful and what? Sharper than what? Any two-edged sword, piercing to the what? Dividing asunder of what? Soul and spirit, and of the joints, and what? And marrow, and is a discerner of the what? Of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Armed and extremely dangerous. For the weapon of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God." I'll start preaching in a while. The most tragic text or passage you will ever read in the Bible is found in the Old Testament and is found in the book of beginnings. Genesis, the chapter is 3. It's the most tragic text you will ever read. Because you see, prior to Genesis chapter 3, God had a face-to-face relationship with his children. Are you following what I'm saying? He spoke to them face-to-face, had dialogue with them. The Bible says often God would come down in the Garden of Eden in the cool of the day, and he would commune with his children. But after Genesis chapter 3, that face-to-face relationship was broken. It was broken by the deadly effect of sin. Are you following me? Sin caused a separation. Sin caused a divide. And Isaiah chapter 59, verses 1 and 2, the Bible says, Isaiah chapter 59, verses 1 and 2, the Bible will have us know that God's hands aren't shortened that they can't save, neither is his ear heavy that he will not save. But the Bible says our sins and our iniquities have separated us between us and God. Sin separates. Sin breaks relationship. Sin causes division. Would you say amen? And that's why we are here at this spot tonight and for the next 4 weeks, because we want men and women to understand that sin is dangerous. Sin is deadly. Sin will cause us to go to hell. And might I tell you that hell is real, but God is also real. And so the Bible was written before there was ever thought of writing on papyrus scroll. The communication of God's will was passed on through the means of oral tradition. Fathers and mothers would gather their family around the burning fire and there exclaimed the goodness of the God of Israel. Are you listening to me? And so God wrote, commanded that men write the scriptures, you see, because after the great flood, you remember that one, don't you? After the flood, and man became numerous upon the earth once again, and darkness was again settling over the world, holy men of God were commissioned to write as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. And so God spoke to his people and to the world that a knowledge of God and his will might not perish from the earth. God wants his will to be known to his people. That's why one of the last signs, the last sign that will usher in the coming of Jesus, is the preaching of the gospel and the warning of humanity. Jesus says, "And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come." So God wants his people to be warned. So second Peter chapter 15, verses 15. Second Peter chapter 1, verses 15 through 21. Let us hear what the Bible has to say. Moreover, read with me, please. Moreover, I will what? Endeavor that he may be able after my what? Decease to have these things always in remembrance. We move on. I mean, they must be sleeping around there. For we have not followed what? Cunningly devised what? When we made known unto you what? The power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. But were what? Eyewitnesses of his what? Majesty. For he received from God the what? The Father. Honor and what? Glory, when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am what? Well pleased. Next verse. And this voice, which came from where? Heaven. We did what? Heard when we were with him in the what? Holy mountain. Next verse. And we have also a more what? Somebody say sure. Sure word of what? Prophecy. Whereunto he do well that he what? Take heed as unto a what? Light that shineth in a what? Dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your what? In your hearts. Next verse. Knowing this verse, that no prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation. Next verse. But evil men. No, they're gone on to another verse, another passage. The Bible says, holy men of God spake as they were what? Moved by the Holy Ghost. So God commissioned not white men. You're not listening to me. Not white men to trick black people. But holy men of God were commissioned and mandated, poured out by the Spirit of God, to write the Bible so that the will of God can be preserved. Then 2 Timothy 3 verses 13 to 17 tells us, but evil men and seducers shall wax what? Worse and worse, deceiving and being what? Deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast what? Learned and hast been assured of, knowing, go back please, go back. Moving too fast. Well, let's go with that verse. Let's go back to verse 16. All scripture is given by what? Inspiration of what? Of God. And is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. That the man of God may be what? Thoroughly furnished unto all good works. So the Bible is a sacred library of 66 books. And this unique library is of divine origin. Are you following me? The creator of the universe, the creator that we spoke of last night, the God who is sovereign, he is its author. Some 40 men living in different generations were commissioned to write this book. Genesis was written about 3,500 years ago, about 1500 BC. The Revelation was written about AD 97, 1900 years ago. This is the eternal word of the living God. And this word declares, I am the way. You see, the world is covered with moral darkness. The world is covered with gross darkness. But the word says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. For ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. What do you say? You may ask, where did the name Bible came from? And what does it mean? Well, the word Bible, strictly employed, means a little book. It's a title given to the Jewish and Christian scripture. It is derived from the Greek word Biblos, which means an inner bark of the papyrus scroll. It literally means little book. It was written in two major languages: Old Testament Hebrew, New Testament Greek, with parts of the Old Testament written in Aramaic. Some people say that they are New Testament Christians. Have you ever heard that before? They are New Testament scriptures. But Jesus, who lived in New Testament times, he approved and expounded the Old Testament. Would you say amen? Mark chapter 14, verses 49. What does the Bible say? Mark chapter 14 and verse 49. Let us look at that scripture and see what the Bible says. Mark chapter 14. Write the text down. When you go home, you read the text for yourself. This preacher will preach only from thus saith the Lord. I am not here to preach my own philosophy nor my own opinion. Would you say amen? The Bible says, I was what? Daily with you in the what? Temple, teaching, and he took me not. But the scriptures, what? Must be fulfilled. Jesus says, the scriptures must be fulfilled. Luke chapter 24, verses 27. And beginning where? Come on, read with me. And beginning at who? Moses and all the, he expounded unto them in what? All the scriptures, the things concerning himself. Jesus says, he expounded, the Bible says, he began at Moses. And he expounded the things concerning himself. And in John 5 and verse 39, the Bible says, search the scriptures. For in them he think he have what? Eternal life. And Jesus says, these are they which testify of me. The Bible is a testimony about Jesus Christ. Luke 4 and verse 16 through 18. He says, as his custom was, he went into the synagogue, not on Sunday, not on Monday, not on Tuesday, but on the Sabbath day. And he stood up to read, and the portion of the scroll that was given to him was that of Isaiah, the thing concerning himself. Would you say amen? So there we see that Jesus, he approved and expounded from the Old Testament. And Jesus lived in New Testament time. So we see in scripture expressions such as the word of the Lord, or thus saith the Lord. It is God's word. Now, not only did the Holy Spirit was responsible for the production of the scripture, but the Holy Spirit also in a supernatural way preserve those scriptures that God wanted his people in the latter ages to study. We realize that the Bible is a miracle book. The Bible is a what? Miracle book. This book that you have allowed to sit on your cabinet table gathering dust is no ordinary book. It's a miracle book. It is here by God's design, not at the whim and fancy of men. God sent this word to us, and God ensured that his word was preserved. Would you say amen? The Bible is a miracle book. It has survived the attacks of Satan from its very inception to its transmission down through the ages, from the earliest time to late history, even to this time. Men have tried and are still trying to destroy the Bible. But their trying is futile, because the Holy Spirit stands guard over this word. Can somebody say amen? Down in the period that is known as the Dark Ages, when Rome ruled the world, in the Council of Toulouse, the church leaders ruled, and this is what they wrote: we prohibit laymen possessing copies of the Old Testament scripture. We forbid them severally to have the above books in the popular vernacular. The lords of the district shall carefully search out the heretics in dwelling hovels, forests, even in underground cave, and when they are found, they should be put to death. The common people could not own a Bible. If you were caught with a Bible, you would be put to death. Many gave their lives for the sacred word. Only the church could own a copy, but those who believed were taught to believe. And so tradition crept into the church, because my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Where there is no vision, the people perish. But God is an awesome God. Can somebody say amen? God is a wonderful God. God secured men in caves as they worked to translate the Bible back in the language of the common people. This is a book that cannot be killed. Is a hard man for dead. You pick him up, you lick him down, and bounce right back. Hard man for dead. In the 15th century, King Alexander is burning Bibles in his courtyard over champagne. And as he burned the Bible pages, the evening wind picked up an off-scorched page of a passage of scripture, carried it by the gentle evening breeze, sat it down in King Alexander's lap. When he took up the page, half scorched though it be, he saw Isaiah 40 and verse 8. The grass withereth and the flower fadeth, but the word of God shall stand forever. You can't kill the word. The word is everlasting. As a matter of fact, God says, I've exalted the word higher than my name. The word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, cutting asunder. Are you listening to me? In October 6, 1536, by order of Charles V of Germany, Tyndale was strangled and burned at the stakes near Brussels. He says, if Luther will not recant, wrote Henry VIII of England, let himself and his writings be committed to the flames. Such under the spiritual tyranny that ruled those times was the fate of many who stood up for the word of God. But the word of God could not be bounded forever. The only scriptures given to the angels, transmitted to his servants, is given to the churches. God says in Revelation, he that hath an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit saith. Men die, but the Bible lives. Can somebody say amen? The French skeptic Voltaire said that the Bible was an exploded book, meaning that the Bible would come and go. He has been dead for more than 200 years. If he was here, his theory would have been exploded. But the Bible still lives on. The Bible lives on today. It outsells any other book 100 times combined. Oh, my friend, this book is a powerful book. When the Christian reads this book, he is armed and extremely dangerous. You know, it was my desire long ago, when I was but a child, to become either a soldier or a policeman. That was endorsed after one day my father, who was a special constable, took out his .45 revolver and put it on a table before me and said, my son, anybody touch you, just tell me. I mean, I was in primary school then, Mr. President, and when I left his presence walking back to school, though I was the least and I could not fight, I was walking with a spring in my heel and a bounce in my steps. I was in grade 2. I wanted to climb the stairs, go up to grade 6, and pick a fight. Because my daddy was just a runaway. So I wanted to be a soldier. I wanted to feel what the SLR feels like. I wanted to feel what the M16 feels like. But you know what? God had other things in mind. I did not realize that dream. But you know what? The first time I fired the B-66, I fell in love with it. For no other weapon is so unique. For the weapon of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God, pulling down the stronghold. I am happy that I am bursting not the M16 or the SLR, but the B-66. Let me give you some specs about my weapon. The B-66, it fires 2 standard rounds, Old Testament and New Testament. It has 66 extended clips, 39 in the old, 27 in the new. Its bullets have a lifelong guarantee. Its warheads are like the tips of Cupid's arrow. Whoever those bullets hit, they are never the same again. This word brings transformation. This word brings change. This word transforms you, whether you're a bad man, a good man. This word will change you because it is powerful, bringing down the strongholds and everything that exalteth itself above God. The word is powerful, mighty to save. Since I've been reading it, my life has never been the same. I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore, very deeply stained within, sinking to rise no more. But the master of the sea heard my despairing cry, from the waters lifted me. Not safe am I. It was Peter and the rest of the disciples who fished all night and caught nothing. Jesus came to them, throw out a little deeper. Peter said, but we have been toiling all night without any catch. Jesus said, follow me, obey me, launch out in the deep. I don't have time to tell you, but let me slip this one in. We have too many lazy Christians in church, gullible, taking what pastor says. Be like the Bereans in Acts, who went home after Peter Paul preached and searched the scriptures to see that the things that were spoken of were so. So Peter said, nevertheless, Lord, although I am an expert and I've been out there all night, nevertheless, at thy word, it is at the word of God that devils will tremble. It is at the words of God that sinners will come to know Jesus. It is at the word of God that Christians will live better lives. It is at the word of God that hypocrites will stop pretending. It is at the word of God will biters will stop backbiting. It is at the word of God when the church will become united. So trust in the word. You can take it to the bank. It will transform you. No matter who you are, no matter where you've been, it has power to save. And tell the devil, devil, you have tried, but keep trying. You'll never succeed because this book contains power. It will never, ever die. It will stand forever. As a matter of fact, Jesus says, heaven and earth must pass away before this word pass. The last time I looked in the firmament, there was still a heaven, and I'm still on earth. The word of God will stand forever. It lives on, and it has power to change you. Whoever you are, it has power to change you. Tonight, I'm going to ask you, it's your desire to allow this word to start a work in you. As my praise team comes and sing, you leave your seat, whoever you are. It's a general call. Whoever you are, leave your seat and walk down this altar. We're going to pray together. Where are you? As the praise team begins to sing.
I thought.
Come on.
Number one.
Leave your seat.
Surely be me.
The president, Pastor Cottrell, is going to pray a very special consecratory prayer. Whoever you are, whatever problem you have, come. This is a hope and call to anybody who wants to come. Come on. Come on. Come on. Where you are. Come on. Come on. Don't. Come on. Come on, folks. We got to pray. Come on. Come on. If you want prayer, come. Come on. Leave your seat and come. Come on. Come on. Come on up here. Come on up here. Come on up here. There's some of us who need to start reading the scriptures. Some of us, we need to go back to studying the word of God. There's some of us who need to go back to the word. For the word of God is quick and powerful. Now, Lord, as the congregation stands and persons start to walk, I'm calling you in the name of Jesus. Come on up here. Come on up here. Come on up here. My all.
My all.
In all.
In all. From now on
his name, I'm surely gonna call. If you just trust him. If you don't trust him. Sing the song. Sing the song. And the valley. The valley. Down. On my knees. The song. Prayer, come on down here. Come on down here. Come on down here. Come on down here. This is a place of prayer. This is a place of prayer. This is a place of prayer. Yes.
The mountain is too high. The valley is too down. On my knees, I learn. The valley is too wide, but down, down on my knees, I learn to say, can't without.
Let us bow our heads reverently as we seek the Lord in prayer. Eternal God and our Heavenly Father, we come to you now in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. We sense the power of your Holy Spirit even now as we listen to the message that you sent from your throne. O Lord, O God, we come thanking you for your holy words, long preserved for our walk in this world. We thank you, Lord, for the word, because it is a lamp to our feet and a light unto our path. Lord, we thank you for the words, because you said, thy words have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. We thank you for the words, Lord, because it is through the word we are transformed and become more like Jesus. We thank you for the word, O God, because when we follow your word, we will follow you into your eternal kingdom. We thank you for the word, Lord, because it makes us wise unto salvation. We thank you for the word, because it brings peace of mind. We thank you for the word, because it helps to ease our burdens and to make the pains and the pressures of life a little bit easier to bear. Thank you, O God, for your word. Thank you for your word, O God, is the word of truth. And we are only made wiser when we continue to study your word. So we thank you for the message that you have sent us. And we pray, Lord, that we will begin to spend more time with the word. When we are burdened down with the stresses and the pains and the pressures and the problems and the difficulties of life, we find peace of mind when we come to your word. And Lord, tonight as you spoke to us through your manservant, through the written word, we could catch a glimpse of the living word as he speaks to us through the power of the Holy Spirit. Oh Lord, our God, we come here this evening and we come with our sins and we ask for your forgiveness. We come with our burdens, but we are so happy to know that burdens are lifted at Calvary. We know this to be so because your words have told us long ago that there is no other name given among men whereby we must be saved. So Lord, we give ourselves to you and we commit our lives to Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior, and pray, O God, that you will inspire us unto righteousness. Bless every single individual here. Bless those who have come to the altar. And we pray, Lord, that we will leave this place with your words in our hearts, planning by your grace to live according to the dictates that we found in Scripture, so that there will be joy and peace and harmony in our lives. Thank you for your love and thank you for your blessings and thank you for the message that you have sent to us and for your witness in this part of the vineyard. Continue to bless these meetings. Bless every single one who comes out. Bless every family represented. And more so, Lord, give us grace and strength and power to order our lives according to your word. In Jesus' name we pray.
Praise the Lord. Thank you very much, family and friends, for coming out tonight. We look forward to seeing you on tomorrow evening when we will look at the subject, Where Did It All Start? You can't afford to miss that. You can't afford to miss the remaining portion of this week. God has something special in store for us. Would you say amen? God bless you as you go.
Some of us are